From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. A gerrymandering fight has been dominating the political world. California is having a special election on November 4th to decide whether to redraw the state's congressional maps in response to Texas Republicans trying to maintain a House majority in the upcoming 2026 midterm. Proposition 50 is called the Election Rigging Response Act and is asking voters to temporarily bypass the state's independent redistricting commission and approve maps that threaten the few Republican-held congressional seats in California as a counter to Texas lawmakers redrawing its own maps to favor Republicans and President Trump. This is a continuing conversation that we are having on Insight. Earlier this week, we had voices both in support and opposed to Prop 50, as well as perspectives that are just more complicated. And here in our newsroom, our Cap Radio politics reporter wants to hear your thoughts on California redistricting. We have a survey link on our Insight page, and you can email Laura directly at l.fitzgerald@capradio.org. Today, we're going to sit down with the architect behind California's mid-decade redistricting push. Paul Mitchell is a data consultant based in Sacramento and heads the demography firm Redistricting Partners, which drafted the maps that are heading to voters. Welcome back, Paul.
Thanks for having me.
So you have been on Insight countless times as a resource for election results with Political Data, Inc. You're considered a leading expert in voter data across the state. But for those who don't work in and around politics, how did you get into the field of drawing state and federal districts for elections?
Well, actually, the story goes back about 15, 20 years. I'd worked in politics, and I just didn't enjoy so much the ups and downs of individual campaigns. I really did like working within the data and the mapping side. And so I started working in advance of the 2010 redistricting on, you know, what districts might look like. There was a new redistricting commission, which I supported. And there was this idea of maybe groups that want to advocate for maps that they want. So whether it was the LGBTQ community wanting to draw maps that could empower the gay community in redistricting at the city or statewide level, or labor unions or the environmental groups. And so I started working with a lot of different clients, both at the State Redistricting Commission level and then at the local level, trying to create advocacy. Even here in Sacramento, it was our work that helped create the first LGBTQ district here in Sacramento that unified the downtown area, the district that Steve Hansen ultimately won. So a lot of that work was because of my interest in data and mapping and just wanting to get away from the adversarial side of politics.
So your firm Redistricting Partners has been involved in California's independent redistricting process ever since it started roughly 15 years ago.
Yeah, so it started what we would do is go to the commission on behalf of clients to advocate for things in the plans, and it was all an open, transparent process. And then ultimately, in the redistricting we did in 2021, I would present to the commission on outreach and strategies and talk with them on data. So I would do all that. And then our company ended up doing over 100 local redistricting. So City of L.A., you know, County of Santa Clara, San Joaquin, San Jose City, over 100 city school boards. In fact, right now I'm doing a redistricting in the city of San Jose at a school board district right now. I mean, literally I have a meeting next week down there to go over their lines.
Okay. And you also even work out of state as well.
Yeah, we were the demographer for the New York Independent Redistricting Commission. And so we did that twice. And we also, I advised the Ethics Commission at in New Mexico on the establishment of their commission process, and then worked with Common Cause and other folks on an amicus brief after that was done regarding how their process worked. So a lot of work nationally, about 14 states. If you want to talk about Alaska redistricting and snowmobile contiguity and things like that, I can do that too, because I did some work up there as well.
Would you call your work nonpartisan? Or are you contracted across party lines?
My work has always in the redistricting space been in a nonpartisan way. Sometimes I'm advocating for partisan interests in front of an open, you know, process like the State Redistricting Commission, but I've never done an actual partisan redistricting. I've never been in a position where I'm drawing maps for an agency and I'm looking at things like partisanship. My work, when I go to a city council or school board, I'll tell them, A, I will not have any private meetings with board members. I will not do any closed sessions. I will not talk about redistricting matters outside of a public meeting. And I don't want to know where any of the incumbents live. We do a process that's purely nonpartisan and real following the state's real transparent Fair Maps Act process. So this was a new thing for me to undertake.
So when did California Democrats reach out to you about this mid-cycle redistricting push and asking you to help redraw these maps?
Well, the first questions came months ago. And there was an article in Politico that really highlighted that, we had people coming asking me, because I'm kind of known as one of the redistricting experts in the state, you know, would it be possible? And I was saying, no, that's just not possible. And I had that attitude really up until Gavin Newsom did his podcast where he said, we're going to do this. And I actually did some polling to look at whether or not voters would support something like this. And I was shocked. I was shocked that you found in one survey question, voters, 70% of them said they support the commission. And then when you told them what's happening in Texas and asked them, would you be willing to support something that would put the commission maps on hold in California and impose new lines to confront what's happening in Texas, that same population that was 70% in support of it, of the commission lines originally, were, 55, 60% in support of setting those lines aside. And so when I saw that, and then when I started talking to more people, it became apparent that this was potentially real. There was a lot of interest as it first started that this was kind of a bluff, So we started actually having meetings. We started potentially drawing maps. And we thought, okay, if this looks serious enough, Texas will stand down because they'll know we're going to go through this rigmarole in Texas to try to create five districts. And California can just offset it, with a snap of the fingers. And when it became clear that they weren't backing down, this thing just got more serious and more serious. And so I brought back my entire redistricting partners team that worked on the statewide redistricting last cycle. And we worked incredible hours over a couple weeks to help put together mapping scenarios that ended up being essentially what the legislature has taken in, made some changes to, and then adopted as their own.
Given that Redistricting Partners, your work has long been nonpartisan. I mean, clearly you said, yes, we do have these maps. At any point, were you conflicted about participating in what is a partisan gerrymandering fight?
Well, first off, when I came to it, I came to it with my lens. And that was, can we push back on Texas, pick up five seats for Democrats, and not break the entire redistricting plan? Can we do it following the good governance, good redistricting principles and criteria that the commission has, the same criteria that's used in local redistricting, and do something that would reflect the communities of interest, protect cities and counties, and do these other things that are the good practice that we follow in all our local redistricting? Once I proved to those folks that we could do that, that we could create five pickups and we don't have to create crazy districts that bridge, Santa Monica to Hemet and, San Francisco to Redding, kind of crazy districts. Once I realized we could do it and still do a good, clean redistricting that I don't personally consider a gerrymander because we're not splitting up communities. We're not doing crazy lines that go 30 miles down freeways like they do in Texas or Illinois. Then I felt more comfortable about it. But yeah, it was new for me.
And there isn't consensus among former independent redistricting commissioners. We had one who's opposed to Prop 50. There are commissioners who support Prop 50. But in the conversation we had earlier this week, I mean, they oppose the proposition because they believe it undermines the pursuit of fair elections, regardless of the circumstance, and believe that it can cause long-term damage to election reform. I mean, given that you are passionate about this as well, how do you respond to that?
Well, I have a lot of respect for people who share those values. I share those values as well. And the challenge is, and I think you see this in Sarah Sadwani, who's one of the commissioners who's kind of taking a leading role here. She not only served on the commission, before that, her whole, all of her election research, her academic work has been in election reform. And so she has been as tied to this independent reform process as anybody. But at the same time, she feels that there's this existential threat that what's happening in Texas is not something that should be allowed. And that by doing this in California, we're potentially offsetting that rigging of the election that's happening in Texas. And so as a result of that, for this one moment, we can't be so married to the process values, and we should be married potentially to the outcome values. And it is interesting to me that voters get this, like that voters will say, I support the commission, and then say, I'm willing to set it aside. And I think it was really smart by the governor to characterize this in his first discussion of it on that podcast as, we can do this right now to confront Texas. We can do it in a measured approach, just pick up 5 seats, not try to pick up 9 or do something crazy. We can do it in a way that reinforces our push for national redistricting reform and brings back the commission in 2031. And by doing that, I think it gives a permission structure to people like me to say, okay, we're doing this right now. We're doing it in a measured way. We're doing 5 for 5 with what Texas is doing. And we can keep our commission going in 2031. And hopefully by 2031, we can get back to a norms-based democracy that we can feel more comfortable in.
Are there many people who do what you do? I mean, had you said no, pass, would Prop 50 have moved forward? And do you have an idea of what those maps could look like?
Well, there are a lot of good redistricting consultants around the country. I think we were uniquely positioned because we've done redistricting in so many of these communities that we've tracked the redistricting process at the state commission process for the last 2 decades. So I think we were uniquely qualified to help put something together that could create this pickup of the 5 Democratic seats, so accomplish the goal of pushing back on Texas, but also not split up like key communities, whether it's, you know, splitting up the Asian community in Orange County, or splitting up the Armenian community in Glendale in the Valley, or splitting up, you know, the LGBTQ community, or even environmental interests. There's a lot of different communities that have been active in redistricting that we're more keyed into. And so that made it easier for us to do this. And I've been really proud of the fact that, you know, the NAACP came out in support of this after looking at after actually initially being opposed to it because they were afraid that it would cause a lot of split up of the districts that they cared about. The UCLA Center for Asian Studies just put out an analysis that showed that this district is increasing Asian voting power. Where do you ever have a gerrymandering in some state that people say that it actually creates positive outcomes? And so I think there are positive stories to be told in this redistricting, and maybe that's something that our firm was more uniquely qualified to do because of all of our local nonpartisan redistricting. But I'm not so, I don't have such a big ego to say that it wouldn't have been done without me here. I think they would have been able to do something if it wasn't for us.
You know, so maybe listening to the distinction that you're creating behind California's maps compared to what's happening in Texas. And that may be tough for some people to swallow. Maybe mm-hmm. they're a Republican or just a principled blanket supporter of California's independent redistricting process, regardless the circumstance. How would you talk to them about your point of view about how these maps are fair if they don't feel that they are? Because it undermines the Republican Party and the Trump administration.
Well, yeah, there's clearly a desire in these maps to push back on what Texas is doing. So if somebody is opposed to that pushing back on what Texas is doing, then I don't think it's necessarily that we're going to convince them just because we unified Martinez and Vacaville. Like, isn't that great? But for those who really do love the commission process and feel like that's something that they value and are maybe on the fence, I think looking at the maps, if that's what they're interested in doing, they can see the fact that our process respected the Voting Rights Act. Our process respected communities, even districts that they're quote unquote attacking. They're saying Kevin Kiley's district that comes in here to Sacramento, right? The studio we're at right now is now in the Kevin Kiley district in those proposed maps. You can look at that and say, well, okay, we don't maybe know why it's coming to Sacramento, but we also know that it used to go all the way down to Kern County. We used to have a district for Kevin Kiley that went from Folsom and Roseville to Kern County.
Right. His district goes from Lassen to Death Valley.
Yeah. And I lived in Independence as a kid. And it's a tiny little town. And I'll tell you, we never went to the mall in Roseville. We were more connected to L.A., believe it or not. We got our news from L.A. The biggest issues in that valley were having to do with L.A. issues, like with the DWP and the aqueduct. So you can look at a lot of these districts, and there's ways to look at them and say objectively they are improvements in some areas. And so if we can do something to push back on Texas, and we can do it without kind of breaking the commission map and keep a fidelity to that commission process and see commissioners who have seen the maps actually come on and support this, I think that's a real win, because I'd hate for us to, you know, kind of throw the baby out with the bathwater here and say, you know, oh, we need to fight back on Texas, so let's just, you know, put our maps in a blender. The fact that we were able to do these maps in a way that keeps more communities together, there are fewer cities split in our maps than the commission maps. And districts that have been created make sense. Mm-hmm. And honestly, most of the state hasn't been touched. 80% of voters are going to find they're in the same district now as they were before. That's unlike Texas, where all but one of the districts in Texas was redrawn. So there's a lot of things here that can, I think, assuage any concerns that people have about the quality of this redistricting. But if their real core concern is the partisanship goal and electing Republicans, then there's not a lot there for them to like.
Do you think beyond this special election that this makes, at least optically, the work that you do, your firm, partisan?
I hope not. I mean, I think that as we go about doing our nonpartisan work around the state and around the country, that people understand that we were put in a position to, draw these maps, and that we did it in a way that was respectful of communities of interest and respectful of the process, and that the work will speak for itself. But we'll see.
Yeah. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Paul Mitchell, who heads the demography firm Redistricting Partners and is behind the redistricting maps that Californians will vote on for the November 4th special election. So in the days that these maps have actually been finalized, unveiled, it's heading to an election, what kind of response have you received? Any criticism from peers in your field or people that you've worked with closely?
I mean, what has been interesting was when they first mapped, I got some angry text messages from Republicans who were working for the other side saying there wasn't a lot for them to attack. They were hoping that we'd done a bunch of stuff like put incumbents back into their districts. We didn't do that anywhere in the map. They were hoping that we had done some stuff that these Twitter maps had done. If you looked on Twitter right before the maps came out, there's people who were putting maps up that had these like bacon strip districts, they call them, which is where you take thin slices of areas going from like Santa Monica out to the Inland Empire and just draw one district on top of another. And you split up communities, you split up cities, you create really ugly districts like they have in some other states. The fact that we did it in kind of a clean process, I think, has been good. And so I haven't heard a lot of pushback on the maps themselves. And that's part of my goal, is that I want these maps to essentially be vanilla enough that they can fall into the background. Because from here on out, our conversation about mapping, I love it. And maybe some people listening love the conversation about mapping. But this campaign isn't going to be about maps. This campaign is going to be about pushing back on Trump, who is trying to call into Texas and say, I want five more districts, the same way he called into Georgia and said, I need 11,000 more votes. It's a breaking of our democratic norms. And without those democratic norms, we don't have a true democracy. And so if we can push back on Trump and we can push back on what Texas Republicans are doing, and then hopefully come out of it, and in 2031, we come back to the redistricting commission process, maybe we start pushing commissions in other states. Maybe people, voters in other states, say, we don't ever want to see this kind of devolving of our process into every election cycle. We're going to redraw maps in all these states. Maybe there will be a movement for, real redistricting reform nationally, not just having the commissions pop up in Democratic states, but having them pop up everywhere.
Well, right, because this is supposed to be temporary. If voters approve this in November, the promise is that this independent commission in California is going to resume following the 2030 census. But do you think there's a scenario where this could be bypassed again, maybe for similar reasons?
No, I think the hundreds of millions of dollars that are going to be spent on this campaign would be enough deterrent for anybody trying to do this again. And I'll tell you, the polling is that, if there wasn't this Texas threat right now, there's nobody would want to do this. The voters, I wouldn't want to do this. Voters don't want to get rid of the commission process. They believe in it, but they also see a threat. They understand that this is the thing they can do to push back. And so I think you're seeing a lot of voters who are going to be willing to support this, but they're not going to be willing to support it kind of on a permanent basis. When I did a polling thing that's asked if you want to get rid of the commission entirely, it came into like 18% support. And so this is a one-time thing.
Do you think it is opening a door that can't be closed, in that this battle between California and Texas is changing the landscape moving forward of redistricting?
I think not pushing back would open a door we can't close. And what I mean by that is that if California does not push back and we see these Republican states go ahead and pick up 8, 9 districts around the country, and we go into the 2026 election and it's this big landslide for Republicans because they win these districts, everybody around the country is going to look at commission states and say, you guys are suckers. And it would, I think, permanently derail the movement to try to do independent redistricting. This is an unfortunate fight that everybody's in. I think it's a righteous fight to be in right now. But at the end of it, I hope that Governor Newsom has signaled already that he wants to work on national redistricting reform. I hope Charles Munger, who's currently against this measure, will work with him, and other people who are reform-oriented will work with him, and we can get a big national push. Zoe Lofgren, who's the chair of the California delegation, she authored a bill to create national redistricting reform. No Republicans were voting for it. Right now, I bet Kevin Kiley and other Republicans would be voting for that, because if we could basically...
And he has
down.
A bill as well, right?
Yeah, he's got a bill to try to ban mid-decade redistricting. And a lot of Democrats would be supportive of that. I'd be supportive of that. But I think maybe out of this process, we might find ourselves in a position where Democrats and Republicans can agree, let's not do that again. And let's try to do something nationally that will fix this problem. But if California stood down and let themselves just get run over by these moves in Texas and other states, I think it would have permanently created a situation where people would look at people who do commissions and think that they're just suckers.
So this is a one-time thing for you? You wouldn't do this again?
No, we'll not do this again.
Okay, on the record.
Absolutely.
Paul, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Paul Mitchell is a data consultant based in Sacramento and heads of the demography firm Redistricting Partners, which drafted the redistricting maps that Californians will vote on for the November 4th special election. As I mentioned, this is an ongoing conversation on Insight here in our newsroom. Our CAP Radio politics reporter Laura Fitzgerald wants to hear your thoughts on redistricting. We have a survey link on our Insight page, and you can email Laura directly at l.fitzgerald@capradio.org. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.